Right, we're going to, because it is such a challenge to be generous and committed and to move a mission forward with your resources, we're going to take one Sunday to look at the words of Jesus and what he says about money. What does he say? We're going to listen to some words from the Gospel of Luke, and Molly Maysillis is going to read for us. Listen now to the words of Jesus, the Word of God.
The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of the Lord.
Now, I learned a long time ago that it's possible to be sick, I mean really sick, and not know it. When I was a young single, right out of college, I went to church one Sunday, and as I was walking out, there was an older gentleman in the church. It was a small church, and he was sort of the doctor that everybody went to. And I went to shake his hand, and he looked at me, and he said, "You look peaked." And I thought, well, why, thank you. And I said, "Well, what do you mean? I'm fine." And he says, "No, you look peaked." And he reached up, and he felt my forehead, and he said, "Come over here with me." And this was in the days when doctors actually had little black bags. And he took out his little black bag, and he got out his stethoscope, and he started unbuttoning my shirt. And, you know, I'm kind of waving at my friends as they're walking out of church, you know, and he's listening, and he says, "You have walking pneumonia. We're going to the hospital right now in my car." And I went, and I had no idea. I had no idea. I guess that's what they call it, walking pneumonia. I thought I was, you know, staying up a little late or something. And next thing you know, there I am in his car on the way to the hospital. It's possible to be sick and not even know it. And that's exactly what takes place as Jesus begins to talk about greed as a kind of sickness. There's a guy who comes up to him and he says, Lord, listen, there was an inheritance, and my brother and I are trying to figure out sort of who gets what. Would you be willing to sort of be the arbiter and resolve our dispute? And Jesus responds, because most of us would say, well, that's a perfectly rational thing to do. You've got to work that out, right? What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with that, right? And Jesus immediately turns on him and says to everybody, watch out for all, and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Greed? Just because he asked him to help out with the inheritance. In other words, Jesus says, when it comes to money, and when it comes to greed, the fact is, a lot of us are sick, and we don't know it. And what I want you to see is that is actually the nature of this particular condition. The nature of this particular sickness is that you don't know you have it. It is by nature, by definition, greed is insidious. It is, are you ready? It is intrinsically incognito. In other words, nobody ever goes, oh, pastor, I have to see you. I have to see you today. I'm greedy. What can I do? That has never happened to me, and I don't think it ever will. If you have issues with greed, all kinds of greed, you don't know it. If you're a materialist, in all likelihood, you don't know it, because blindness to the condition is actually part of the condition. This puts greed in a different category than most other sins. You know, when the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt cannot commit adultery, I think you always know if you're committing those. I mean, you just know. If you're doing that, you know. But greed, at the very essence of it, is you don't know it when you're doing it, but you're sick. And Jesus says, listen, you need to watch out. And when he says watch out, that means don't assume you're okay. Get a checkup. Look deep into your soul. Ask yourself some hard, hard questions to say, is this true about me? Now, you may say, I don't think this is me. You know, I don't think I'm a materialist. I can tell you all kinds of wonderful things about me. Well, let me just ask you something. When you hear about greed, do you, first of all, either get cynical because the preacher's talking to you about money, or B, do you immediately think of someone else? In other words, when is being focused on money a problem? When is, whether it's wanting more or just thinking about how to save more or whatever it is that draws you in, when is it a problem? When you think about that, do you immediately think of yourself? Or do you, if pressed, think about somebody else? Blindness to the condition is part of the condition. Let me ask you this. Have you been working for a while? Have you ever had that sense that as you're trying to pay your bills and make everything happen, that you say, you know what, if I could just get up one more rung to that next level and could make this much, we really would be pretty set. Have you ever thought that? And then have you lived long enough to get there and think, you know, if I could just get one more rung, guess what? Those rings never top out. That's the problem with the condition. Now, Jesus says, listen, when it comes to money, you need to watch out. In other words, you're probably sick and don't know it. So, if that's the case, what do you need to do? 2 points. You need to look and see if you have the symptoms. And number 2, you need to take the steps to get well. Look and see if you've got the symptoms. 2, take the steps to get well. Now, what do I mean by the symptoms? Well, Jesus Christ says, basically, look, there's all kinds of greeds. Which there's all kinds of greed you need to be looking out for. We are economically diverse, we are spiritually diverse, and that means greed will affect a poor person maybe differently than a rich person. Greed will affect a middle-class person maybe differently than a rich person, but it's a non-discriminating germ. It works over all kinds of people. All right? So, you are not immune to this one. But he describes a couple of different ways it may work out. Look at verse 29, for example. If you've got that text there in front of you, he says, don't set your heart on what you'll eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. In other words, one way greed works out is that you're always worried about money. You're always worried about your expenses. You're worried about how you're going to take care of things down the road. You think about it all the time. And he says, what pagans do, talking about the world that doesn't know God, he says, you're always running after it. Money issues, you're always running. All right, you're worried. Or, the other way he describes it is earlier in verse 18, where he talks about this rich dude, and what he says is this. The guy says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and I'm going to store my grain and my goods, and then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things to eat for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now that person is not somebody who's worrying. He's somebody who's always longing. In other words, the way greed, the kind of greed that he has is showing up in his life, is he's always wanting more. Now, what's underneath this? I want to get the symptoms. What's underneath it? I want to really show you two things about the symptoms. It is usually either a need for security or a need for significance. A need for security through money or a need through significance through money. And I want to show you how at different levels Jesus lays this out for us. This is what Jesus says about the way money works. Finding security and significance in money rather than in God. Now, Jesus gives two examples that try to help you diagnose. As he's doing this with this crowd that thinks they're fine. A guy who asks him a question, he thinks he's fine. Jesus, Dr. Jesus opens his bag and starts to teach, and he begins to use examples. The first one he uses is the raven. This is about security. Look at verse 22. He's talking about boys. All right? He's talking about birds. Look at verse 22. He says, chapter 12, verse 22. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now listen, Jesus says, what's going on here is you need to consider ravens. Ravens do not find their security in sowing and reaping and saving. They find their security in the God who cares for them. Now listen, I know we all need we have needs, right? We have certain obligations. It's foolish to say there's no such thing as a need for financial security. But within that category, there's a sickness where it begins to swell and expand. And there's a thinking where you begin to say, my primary security is not in God and His provision and His love for me, but my primary security. In a dangerous world, the primary way to not be in danger is to know that I've got money. The primary way I know, in an uncertain world, that I can control my life is to make as much money as I can and keep as much money as I can. Now, I want to tell you something. You know this is not true. Because when it comes to the things that are the great dangers of this world, money is going to make absolutely no difference. You know this. When it comes to tragedy or loss in your life, death of those close to you, tragic relationships that go badly and maybe leave you alone, those things that frankly are the worst things we have to face in this world, money will not protect you from these things. Have you never watched E! True Hollywood Story? Don't you know this? Don't you know that when it comes to the great fears of life, money will not make you safe? Jesus says, listen, God has to become your security, not money. And then the second thing is significance. And then he moves from ravens to lilies. Look at verse 27. Now we talked about the boys, now we're talking about the flowers. He says, consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now this is kind of one of the other kinds of greed, is looking to money to give you your sense of significance. Of growing up more and more into a person who matters. Into a person who should be taken seriously. A person who's important. Or a person who's beautiful. Right? Who's important, who matters. A person of significance. One of the great temptations of every person here is to think that money is really how you grow to become that beautiful person. Now, we've all seen enough bad plastic surgery jobs to know that pouring a lot of money into yourself isn't going to turn you into a beautiful lily. And frankly, when you hoard and when you, your ego becomes wrapped around what you have, you in fact do not. You may become a feared person, but generally speaking, you won't become a loved person or even a truly respected person. I read this interview with this guy. He's very poor. He's a preacher and a blues singer on the Mississippi Delta. This is in this wonderful magazine called the Oxford American that is sadly defunct now. But they interviewed this preacher blues singer, and he said, "You can have a purse full of money and be a person full of nothing." Security, significance. Jesus says, look, this is the tragedy of this sickness. If you try to find those things in money, you won't find them. They'll fail you. Only God and His kingdom is unshakable. That's the only place you'll ever find security and significance. Now, finally, quickly, how do you get well? Look at the symptoms. Do you have any of those symptoms? How do you get well? And I want to tell you two things Jesus says here, and then we're done. He says, first of all, you need to have an experience of grace. And then secondly, you need to have an experiment in giving. An experience of grace, an experiment in giving. Look at verse 32. What Jesus says here is this. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Give you the kingdom. A lot of times you turn on the television and you hear preachers talk about money, and what you may hear, and what I think a lot of people assume, is that it's by giving money away that I know I'll go to heaven. And I want you to know that is utterly not true. Jesus says, first of all here, you have to have an experience of grace. That is, if you want to know God's kingdom, if you want to have security and significance in your life from Him, you need to understand that it's a gift. You have to let Him give you the kingdom. If you want His treasure, you'll never be able to give away all your treasure in order to get His treasure. You have to just receive His treasure because it's a free gift. That's the first thing you have to understand. And that is the only security that will never be shaken because it's God Almighty who's the gift giver. He never reneges on His gifts. And it's a security that's never shaken because you have the most important person in the universe saying to you, don't you understand, in giving Jesus for you, Jesus, God is saying to you, you are my treasure. You'll never find greater significance than letting that work itself into your heart. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He looks at Jesus and he says, though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor. That is, though He was Almighty God and had all the privileges of glory, He laid that aside, He came, He humbled Himself, He became a servant and was willing to die on the cross for your sin and to be raised to a new life so that you could live and share in His life. Though He was rich, He became poor for your sakes, so that through His poverty you might become rich. And what this means is this. The only way you will ever be free from this sickness, the only way you will ever be free from treasure is if you realize that God has given you His treasure in Jesus, and that becomes your treasure. And if Jesus becomes your treasure, God's love for you, His commitment to you becomes your security, His delight in you in Christ becomes your significance, when that becomes your treasure, then money just becomes, well, money. Not your treasure. Why does this matter? Listen, let me read you something. Verse 34, I'm almost done. He says this, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. Jesus talks about money not really because He wants to talk about money, but because He wants to talk about your heart. Your money will freely flow to where you find glory, to where your life receives meaning and joy. I've never known anybody fall obsessively in love and begrudge picking at the check. You just don't do that because your money is going to flow where your heart is. You know, in The Lord of the Rings, I haven't talked about that in a while, But the new DVD came back, and so I've been thinking about it a lot because I watched it once or twice. And there's this character named Gollum. And Gollum basically finds a ring, a gold ring, and he becomes his treasure. And I'm going to ask a child here, what does Gollum call his ring? It's the what? What is it? No, how does he say it? Come on. It's the, yes, the treasure. Right, it's the treasure. And what's the whole point? Is that the ring, what does the precious do? The precious warps him. It physically distorts him. Intellectually, psychologically, it breaks him down. And the point here that Jesus is making is that if you wrap your heart around any treasure, if you make anything in this world other than Jesus Christ and his kingdom, if you make anything other than him your precious, it will hurt you. His metaphor is, he says, it's a purse that is going to wear out. The real issue is your heart. Has Jesus become your precious? It's the only precious that will never, never let you down. It becomes your security. It becomes your significance. Have you had that experience of grace? And finally, Jesus says, if you do, you're going to begin to experiment in giving. Look at what he says there in verse 33. This is the last thing. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. You know, most of us think about giving. I know I do, and I struggle with it when I think about it, because I think about, you know, my income. But notice that Jesus actually says, I want to become so precious to you that you actually start getting creative because your heart wants to flow so much into my purposes, the things of my kingdom, the things that I'm doing in my mission in this world, and my concern for people in need. He actually says, sell your possessions. And how does that translate? Have you had that experience of grace so that you've actually begun to experiment with how can I engage more with what God is doing through the church, and how can I engage more in meeting people's needs out of my resources? Can I close by just telling you two opportunities? If you say, gee, I don't know, I don't even know where to start, let me suggest something to you. First of all, we have a course at the beginning. It's called the Crown Ministries. It's a 12-week study that looks at biblical principles about money, more about what Jesus says. You can sign up for it in the foyer. They're going to be beginning in September. Maybe some of you just need to take the step to say, okay, I'm willing to say maybe I'm sick and look at what God says. The other thing is the stewardship commitment cards that are part of the congregational report. That's there. And I really insist on doing that because I think it's a wonderful discipleship tool for you as an individual or as a family to say, look, we want our heart to be in this church. We want our heart to be in this mission. And if it is, what do we trust God to do? I want to challenge you to consider one of those or both of those as a way to say, I know what it is to experience His grace, and I want to experiment. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this would be more and more a congregation of people who know what it is to have to say, I'm not afraid, I'm secure. And as a matter of fact, not only am I not afraid, I have a sense of mission in my life, I have a sense of purpose in my life, because Jesus and His kingdom, ministry in His name, being part of a community that serves in His name, that is my commitment. That is my treasure. It's where my resources go, it's where my time goes, and I am experiencing Jesus more and more as precious. I pray for that adventure that we heard so wonderfully and passionately from Jim. I pray that would become more and more true for many, many people here. Lord, I think there's work that needs to be done. Some people are afraid. Some people are bitter. There's all kinds of reasons why they're not on an adventure with you. Would you take away those fears? Would you open that door to experiencing grace and experimenting in stewardship and giving? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.